Well, do we have a lot to get into this afternoon? A lot of material. We've got, I guess, a sending off as well in about an hour. Bob McKenzie, Bobby Mack, making his final appearance here on Overdrive. Although I'm not fully committed to that. I picked up on something on Tuesday. I think he was willing to answer the phone down the road. And
yeah, but he's going to say, I can't help you guys.
Yeah, but I think around the World Juniors or something, we might be able to sneak on Bobby Mack, or if he's around the studio for, let's say, Trade Center or whatever.
Yeah, he's
tired
of us. He
might want to
pop
over.
He's had enough.
Like, he's had enough right now. Yeah,
right now. I think it's the right time for him. Like, he's had enough of like. Can you imagine sitting on hold and you're going to do a serious hit, and the three of us are talking about, you know, who knows, wall squat and deuce, or you know what I mean? Like, this is like the Godfather. And I don't know how many times we brought him into some chats where he's probably just singing, why the hell am I on this show? Am I wrong?
No, I don't think you're wrong at all. I can't imagine that happens to the same extent with anything else he does around the country. I mean, he does radio hits all over the place, and I'm sure he's been on hold listening to us right before like a big deal or the day after Babcock gets fired.
Right.
And we're just completely off the rails, but to his credit, I mean, Bobby's usually willing to have a little fun and get into it, and if he's not, then we shift gears and we get into whatever is pertinent that day. So today we'll get into a number of things with him as, again, we catch up with him for the last time in a long time.
Yeah.
I don't know when we'll have him back on the show, but hey, listen, it's August and we're still talking about hockey and football.
Thoughts are with Claude Julien, by the way. He had to go to the hospital last night, so hopefully he's going to be okay and they can move on.
Yeah, big time. I mean, that's a pretty scary situation. He was suffering from chest pains, and I mean, it speaks to where we're at as a society, where they had to come out and say nothing COVID related. You know, it wasn't COVID related, because people's minds are racing. Like, well, was he in the bubble? Like, what was going on? And he went to a local hospital somewhere in Toronto, and he won't be back during this round anyway against Philly. So yeah, that's a really tough spot. Hopefully he's okay. You know, hopefully he's all good. And I guess if you're a Montreal Canadian or a Canadiens fan, you're hoping that they're playing long enough where Claude Julien can get back behind the bench.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they're in tough against Philly.
They are in tough.
They're in really tough against the Flyers. That Philly team's a good team.
Yeah, they're balanced. So you did the game last night. I was watching it too, and like, it just they're a balanced team that didn't actually even hit on all cylinders last night. I didn't think that the Habs were all there either, but yeah, Philly's a better team on paper for sure.
That's what I said on SportsCenter. I just said, you know what, when they have their B-minus game, which is kind of what I thought Philly had, you gotta sneak in a win, and they didn't do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they're just going to get better next game, and they're dangerous, man. That young decor, Hazy, we were golfing today, and we were chatting about that decor of theirs. That's a good decor, man.
Yeah.
That's a good, young, mobile decor right there. They're going to be
is.
For a long
time. With some well, size.
You,
and
you say a long time, everything. But all those guys are going to want money at the same time. They're not going to be able to keep anybody. So enjoy it right now and try to win right now with it, because sooner or later you're not going to be able to pay them all.
That's true. You're right. You got to figure it out. You got to live in the now, because you have no idea where the future is gonna take especially with some of the guys financially, and if you're gonna be pressed up against the cap or there's turnover. Like, eventually, you know, a guy like Claude Giroux, who's not 21 anymore. You know, you have to wonder if the legs. Same thing with Voracek. If the legs start to drop off a little bit, but that's a really well-rounded team, and Giroux's a superstar, and that Voracek has got some bite. Like, they've got some really – Konechny's an unreal player, and he's on a really good value contract. I want to say it's got something with a 5 in it.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, he's been very consistent, very under-the-radar guy. He doesn't get a ton of love. I'm sure he does in Philly, but he doesn't, up here. We don't talk about Travis Konechny that much.
Yeah.
We talked about Kevin Hayes and his contract a lot at the time, but he is paid through in spades.
Yeah.
I mean, he has really shown up for them and had a great year. I'm still not convinced that's a deal you're going to want in 4 or 5 years.
Right.
But that was one thing that Kyle Dubas brought up yesterday that we never really got back to. Was when we were talking about Marner, and he was defending Marner and doing so diligently, like really backing him up. And I don't know why he felt the urge to do that, but he did. He did during the press conference at 1 o'clock yesterday. He did again with us. But he said, and I'm paraphrasing, but basically, you know, don't worry about the money. That's my job. Why are you worrying about that? And he wasn't talking necessarily just about us. He was talking about the fans. And
well, fans worry about that because they worry about flexibility going forward.
Right.
Not many teams have a guy, one guy that makes $11 million, and they have three.
Yeah.
That's why people bring it up.
Well, you're right. But we didn't press him to say, break down how you think you're going to be able to have all this cap flexibility, because he probably wouldn't have done it. People have pointed out that Clarkson and Horton are going to come off the books on LTIR. You know, if they want some form of flexibility, they might have to pick up contracts like that or spend the money somewhere else. Like, I think he is going to have flexibility, and I think that's what he was pointing out. But, you know, it's how you spend that money too, where you allot it. Like, you know, he's got work to do. But every manager
spending
does.
Money,
Ken Holland, you know?
Spending money and how you allot it, Jamie. You just mentioned that Konechny kid. I think he's a hell of a player.
He is.
Do you think Mitch Marner's a $6 million more a year player than him?
No, of course not.
No.
Of course he's not. And that was brought up yesterday. I mean, we brought that up, like comparables throughout the league. But I think what Dubas, I'm assuming what the message was, hey, just focus on what's going on the ice and leave it to me. And he almost felt like he was a little bit almost surprised by the amount of focus in the market on these numbers. And maybe it doesn't happen elsewhere. I don't know. But, I mean, to his credit, he's not wrong in a fascination from the fan base and the media over the past 18 months or so, give or take, in terms of how much Matthews was going to make, Marner was going to make, Nylander was going to make. And it's going to double down with Hyman and with Freddie. In 2 years, it'll be Morgan Rielly. But that's the nature of the cap. I mean, I blame Bettman and company for that. You know, that when they put into place a salary cap and a hard salary cap, every fan had to turn into a mathematician. You know, everyone had to be an accountant. Everyone's got to get their calculator out. And every goal it's almost like it's bittersweet. What a goal, but that might cost more. So I don't think you're ever going to get to a point where fans are not focused on the money. But, listen, I would prefer to just focus on what happens on the ice. I'd much prefer that.
But there's nothing going on right now, so that's why you start to pick apart everything. And the only thing I could say about that too, Brian, is – He said, well, everyone's worried about the money. Well, when he has a roster that certainly has high-end talent at the top. There's no arguing that. But you've paid that high-end talent. There were a lot of people saying, I don't know if you can have a functional roster with that much money top-heavy put into four and five guys. So that hasn't been a narrative just because they lost in Game 5. That's been a narrative probably for the last, 8 months? Since everyone got wrapped up?
Yeah,
is that fair to say?
Yeah, almost 12 now. I mean, Marner signed 11 months ago.
Right.
So ever since Tavares got here, the numbers, even with the Tavares reaction, it was jubilation and excitement. But in the back of everyone's mind, you're like, that's a lot of money, and what's going to be left for the other guys?
And you think about the salary cap. It's not even that. Nowadays with salary disclosure, what do you think about when I say Milan Lucic? What do you think of just...
Yeah, you think the contract.
$7 million.
Yeah, six, isn't it? There was a 7-year deal at six still, whatever.
Yeah, I think so.
It's a lot of money, right? Like, you don't think, okay, that's a guy who won a cup, that guy scored 30 once, he's a mean player. Like, you don't look into the player right now because of salary disclosure. You're looking at the value, like how much that guy makes, and is he worth that contract, and what do you do? Like, that's now become the formula, not only of us, but every fan. Because you don't just judge the player. That's Bettman's fault.
I mean, that's the NHL's fault because they don't allow for any flexibility. It's very difficult to move contracts around. You know, it takes years to kind of get out of financial trouble in terms of where you're at with the cap. And it sucks because it'd be a lot easier if you could just focus on the action on the ice. Although that said, you know, this year was nothing to write home about for a lot of the Maple Leafs. So that's just the truth. I mean, they didn't even qualify for the playoffs in the round of 16. So whether you're focused on the cap or the play or the standings, it wasn't going to be overly positive any which way you look at it. But
Anyway,
I mean, there's games going on right now, and we're tracking those. Bob McKenzie coming up. Mark Masters will join us.
Really?
Yes. Mark Masters. Well, big news today. Bianca Andreescu has pulled out of the U.S. Open.
Didn't she just say she was in for the U.S. Open recently?
Yes, she did. I believe back in June there was an announcement, like, I'll be there. And early in August there was some uncertainty. Like, remember the U.S. Open, they sent out some sort of marketing campaign about the players that would be in it, and Bianca wasn't in there. And there was a big pushback from Canadians. Like, how could you not have the reigning champion? Why wouldn't you have Bianca Andreescu? And I guess the obviously they knew something we didn't, that she had not 100% confirmed. And now she jumped on Instagram about an hour ago and said, I'm out. And the way it read to me was she's not in shape. You know, it didn't read to me like I'm concerned about COVID and as a result I don't want to play in New York. It was because of COVID and other things, I haven't been able to get myself into a position where I feel like I'm at 100%. And this means she is completely washed out 2020. Like, she didn't play at the Aussie Open. That was pre-COVID. She didn't play because of an injury. She's not playing at the U.S. Open. And Wimbledon's been cleared out, and I'm assuming she won't be at the French Open. She might. But this might just be a complete throwaway season for someone that was the superstar of 2019. It's really disappointing.
And it's not like it was it's not like this injury stuff has just popped up. I think before she won the U.S. Open, it was – she won that tournament in California, then it was injury, then it was injury. This has got to be concerning for her and everybody on her staff, where she's just a kid, and she's
she's 20 years old, yeah.
Yeah.
But this isn't – okay, so I don't know in tennis terms development, you know, when she's arrived, when her prime is, but this seems to me you're coming off a massive win, and then you haven't done anything in a year as far as – you know, taking
actually
that next
performing
step,
and playing.
Actually performing. So, you know, has that stunted her development? Is it fine for her development? Like, I read her statement. It almost said to me that she was, like, not in shape to do it. Like, she didn't feel confident enough. Like, I know COVID has really put people behind, you know, behind the eight ball. Like, but it sounded like she wasn't confident in her tennis shape.
That's how
sense.
I read it, too.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I read it. Now, I think it might be – you do have to credit COVID, the fact that she can't play and build herself up. And, you know, if you don't play for almost a year, then you show up at the U.S. Open, you might be asking for some trouble.
Right.
Which there might be an element of – I don't want to say intimidation, because I think she seems to be the type of athlete that would take on a challenge and take on the world just based on the way she performs and the way that you know, her attitude on the court, so to speak. That's how it read to me, was a combination of COVID, past injuries, and just not being ready to perform and maybe not being in shape. And it's disappointing because, again, she was a rock star. Like, she last year, that win at the U.S. Open almost a year ago was, like, transformative in terms of who she is and what she represents. And that's never going to be taken away from her. And she's only 20. It's not like her career. She didn't announce retirement earlier today. She's going to have a lot more Grand Slams. She's still going to be highly ranked in the world. But it's one of those, and it might just be because 2020 is the worst year and it's throwing everyone off and throwing everyone a curveball. But I was hopeful for her and for Canadian tennis and the Canadian sports scene that she would grow
get
on
the next
2019.
Level.
Yeah, exactly. Take it to another level and go back at it at slams and tournaments. And it's just simply not going to happen.
Now,
and you wonder how she injured herself. Like Jamie just said, maybe she just didn't think she was in, because she hasn't been playing tennis. So what's wrong with her?
I don't think
all she would be doing would be gearing up for this.
I just never want her, and like you said, Brian, there's so much opportunity, there's so much runway for her because of her age and her talent level, but you never want her to get into that territory where it was like almost like one-hit wonder, if that makes sense. Like, I know, I don't think that's the case, but, like, you know, she was at such a high, and to me, you know, if she was healthy and feeling good and COVID didn't hit, she probably just would have continued on that trajectory. I think there was a lot of people that were like, you know, that this lady is going to be chasing Serena, you know, chasing, you know,
she was supposed to be, she had already arrived.
Right.
And she was going to be someone to, you know, be reckoned with.
For
so
like 10 years.
For a long time. And I still think that that's going to be there. I mean, her talents have not gone anywhere. And she's still young. She's 20. I do think for Canadians, we're shell-shocked a little bit because of Jeannie Bouchard and her disappearing act. But right. It's totally unfair to compare one athlete to the next. Right, just because Jeannie showed up, competed the way she did, and then disappeared, that doesn't mean it's going to happen to Bianca Andreescu. No. But in terms of what we've witnessed and experienced as Canadian tennis fans and just observers of the Canadian tennis scene, it was kind of like that, a meteoric right. rise. Like, whoa, where did she come from? Like a year right. and a half ago, not many people knew who Bianca Andreescu was. Then all of a sudden, she's winning in Indian Wells. She wins here in Toronto. She goes and wins a U.S. Open against Serena Williams and put a beating on Serena. And now we don't see her for a year. Yeah. And you know, the sports scene will be waiting for her because of what she established, but it won't wait for long, right? Like, it's not going to wait for years for you to get back on the saddle and keep rocking.
Well, there'll be others. Yeah.
I can already see the timeline of like a SportsCenter hit. If she comes back and she doesn't have it going, it's going to be, this is where she was. You know how they show the highlights of the U.S. Open and then the injury and then the dark music and then the not qualifying out in the first round of a tournament, world ranking going down. So hopefully she turns it around quickly.
Yeah, I really hope that isn't the case. And again, I don't think it will be. I don't think it will be. I think she's too good. She's too young. She's too determined. But this threw me off, and I think it threw a lot of people off.
For sure.
I thought she was gone. I thought she'd be there, and because she hasn't played in so long, I figured she'd be building herself up, preparing to defend her title at the U.S. Open, and now that's not going to happen. It's really disappointing. So we'll catch up with Mark Masters and get his take on that. Maybe shoot a note to Mark Rowe as well.
We'll
get Mark Rowe to go and get Andreescu on the show. We won't ask Masters because he's not the voice of tennis anymore.
Yeah, well, that's probably true.
You might be.
So we'll catch up with Mark. We got Bobby Mack coming up at 5. The Jays with a bit of a
heartbreaking
loss.
What the hell was going on there yesterday?
I don't know.
I was tracking it. I had like the horse eye on in the background. You know what I mean? I'm not right there. It's not forefront right in front of me, but it's you're tracking it.
Yeah.
And it was all over the map. I'm like,
it's one of the craziest games you're ever going to see.
It was crazy.
And they end up losing anyway.
I thought they were going to win. Like
once they storm back, like that Marlins team is a glorified replacement team. I mean, they suck anyway. That was before
right.
COVID wiped out half their roster. And you give up the amount of runs they gave. Like, Nate Pearson got rocked last night. Like, that was a welcome to the majors moment for Nate Pearson. But then they storm back and they tie it late. And what really was disappointing was they threw away an absolutely historic night for Bo Bichette, who was 5 for 5 with a walk. He reached base safely 6 times. I believe he's the youngest shortstop to do that in the modern era. That's all of baseball. That's ahead of A-Rod. That's ahead of Jeter. I believe I read that stat today. I'll confirm that.
Impressive.
And youngest Blue Jay in history to have 5 hits in a game. Like, he had 2 stolen bases last night. Like, that was an absolutely unbelievable performance by Bo Bichette. It ends up in a loss.
Yeah, that team comes wheeling through Buffalo, which is your home stadium now. That's got to be – every other team is just rinsing them. You can't – the Jays are in no position.
You
got to
take both wins.
But you know what that was?
You got to win that game last night.
Brian, you know what that was last night? Matthew scoring 4 goals and them losing
in
overtime.
That's right.
That's what it was.
Yep. That's exactly what it was. Bo Bichette had, you know, I don't know if it's exactly Austin
Matthews.
No,
but you know what I mean. That type of like,
yes,
you know, that type of amazing kind of record-setting night.
Right.
And then you're like, what? Hold on, they lost?
Yep.
Yeah. Like,
and they found a way to lose in extras the same way. That opening night they lost in overtime.
Right.
Kyle Turris shelf, I remember it. It was Matthews' man too. But yeah,
I don't remember that.
Oh, I remember that. that's a quality comparison. You're right. We'll catch up with Steve Phillips as well later this afternoon. We will go back on our golf game from this morning. I'm sure a lot of people are wondering how we played. I'll let the O-Dog speak on my behalf.
Wow.
And I will speak on his behalf. We'll get to that a little bit later. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Mark Masters in about 5 minutes on the breaking news this afternoon. Bianca Andreescu is withdrawing from the U.S. Open, although I don't even know if she ever officially drew in to the U.S. Open, but she is not playing. That's all that matters. She will not be in New York. She will not be playing at the U.S. Open that starts later this month, and that's a bummer. She's out. Federer's out. Nadal is out. I saw Djokovic, I believe, will be playing, but it's not going to have the same feel. There won't be fans. The night matches at 2 in the morning with no one in the stands in New York will be it'll be eerie. It's going to be a really strange view and watching. And
who was
we'll
it?
See.
Who was it in tennis that tested positive? Was it Djokovic?
Djokovic, yeah. So.
Yeah, that's
what
I thought.
Well, remember he had that big party? Like, he threw some charity tournament or something in Slovakia, I believe.
Yeah.
And then had a party afterwards. The club was rocking. And then, sure enough, like 3 days later, he, his wife, a bunch of people that were there tested positive for COVID.
Yeah, that's tough.
So, I guess, you know, he's got the antibodies now, and now he's – showing up, and he's going to perform, and he'll be there in New York. So we'll catch up with Mark in just a minute. I witnessed a clinic this morning. I will say that. We were up at Wooden
Sticks.
Really? Yes. Yes. The O-Dog was
under par. Tell me about it. Tell me about it.
I'll speak on behalf of Hazy's game.
All right.
That's what people really want to hear. Everyone knows you can play, and you can bomb the ball.
I will tell people what you did. You got a good – you shot 80 today, which is a good score.
Yeah,
you,
solid, man.
Yeah,
that's
a couple
solid.
Silly mistakes on some of the easiest holes on the course. You had two double bogeys on very short par threes, which is just silly mistakes. You folded the sod over a couple.
Well,
he did. That's what happened.
This is the best part. It was the replica 12th hole at the Masters, which is where Jordan Spieth did
it. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it was literally, oh, my goodness. Like,
now,
I
walk us through, like, what happened? Like, you get up there, and is O being respectable, or is he chirping you,
what's going on?
I don't do any of that garbage.
I didn't think he would.
He played his game. It was an enjoyable morning. He blew an 80 at Wooden Sticks, and it was pretty good stuff. Driver's real good, down the middle every time. The putting, he putts left-handed, hits the golf ball right-handed, which I find to be
it's goofy.
So you have a left-hand putter?
Yes.
Everything is right-handed from tee to green. Gets on the green, all of a sudden he's turned around, he's putting left.
But he shoots left in hockey. You shoot left in hockey, right?
I've said this, I've told you guys before, I am naturally a lefty, but my dad had me switch as a kid because he shoots right, and he was thinking, if you could
take a slap shot with a hockey stick left, couldn't you grab a left-handed driver and just go rip it?
I should be a lefty. I actually curse my dad. I'll bet you I'd be close to a scratch golfer if I stayed left. Like, I'm shooting right, and I'm not a natural.
Why don't you try it?
Because now I'd have now it would
late.
Take me forever. Exactly.
Yeah.
I could, for the next 4 or 5 years, get back to left, and I'd be chopping it all over, and then eventually it might connect. Now I've gone too far. I turned, when I was like 10 or 11, he was like, all right, start shooting right. And it worked, and I stuck with it. But I should be a lefty. I should be shooting left. If I did, I'd be way better.
How's
so
your
dialed
putting?
In? Yeah, the putting
as a,
is
as a right-handed. Brutal. Have you ever tried right-handed putting?
I can't putt either way. I just feel more comfortable left. I'd probably be just as bad as a righty.
But you're the kind of golfer, I think, that you're happy to go out there. You're talented enough to shoot 80. You're not going to grab a bucket of balls or a bag finder and go work on your short game 80 yards in, because 80 yards in, 60 yards in, putting, that's what you need work on, but you'll probably never do it. So
no, I'm not going to do that. I just want to roll out and play.
80 solid. Like,
oh,
that's
I played really
number.
Well. Like, I was tee to green. I was right there. I threw away holes, too, like you just said. Like, two easy, short par three, like with a wedge in my hand, and I'm just chopping it all over the place. So I threw away three or four strokes there. I had a few three putts. I should have been 77 or 78. Like, that's what I should have shot. At Wooden Sticks, that's pretty good, too. It's a good track.
What did O shoot? What'd you shoot?
He was under par. I think he was like a 68.
What?
Yeah. I shot 68.
Yeah, like that was – he was dialed. He had a bunch of birdies. He had an eagle that we're still reviewing. We're reviewing the tape.
I knew. It's so greasy. I knew that you didn't
say
a word.
Come on. I mean, I didn't say anything. You got to hear this, Noodles.
We're still reviewing.
You got to hear how this played out. All right. So we're on a par five, and he launches one left. Yeah. And we're looking for this ball for like 10 minutes, 12 minutes, because there's no one in front of us, so we're flying. Like, the guys are out there. They're putting
the
pins in holes.
The only way that I'm sniffing around for more than 2 minutes is because I'm hovering around par, and it might be kind of a round saver. But the thing is, I knew I didn't hit that bad of a shot, and they got this kind of fescue area that you should see the golf ball. And unfortunately, so Hayes does his due diligence, and he helps me out. And after 5 minutes, he grabs his putter because he hit – I don't mean to, like, mock you, Hayes, but he hit a butter three-wood from 210. So Hazy was so horny that he had an eagle putt. He got his putter, and he marched up to the green. And I was frustrated. I'm like, this golf ball, I knew when I hit it, it should be back on the earth. So Hazy wheels up to the green, and I do one beeline 30 yards backwards, and my ball was right in the adjacent fairway, right in the rough. And I knew as soon as I found it, and I put my arm up on the green, he was going to say, oh, that's convenient.
Oh, I walked the up old to Jerry the... player, here it is. I'm like, oh, okay.
But Jerry the same player. Thing happened on the very next hole. I hit it back into the same garbage, and we were looking for the golf ball 35 yards ahead of where we were supposed to. So the thing is, the one that I found, my original tee ball, I hit it to 2 feet for eagle, and I made it. And I could just tell, I could already hear the story coming now.
Oh, I made a note. I'm like, that's coming up at 4:30, and it's coming up multiple times for years. Because we did look for a while. You dropped the ball originally, and you threw another dart. You threw one to about 25 feet. So
yeah, because I'm like, that thing's gone.
Right. And then I was walking up, and I was at the green, and then all of a sudden I got the, hey, I found it, and he throws one to about 4 feet for eagle. I'm like, wow. Tell me this guy found that ball after we had been looking for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But I didn't say anything. I didn't dispute it. And
By the way, that's a round. Like, that was a total. That was saver.
Absolutely. That's on the back. You go from a possible bogey to an eagle. Yeah. You saved 3 or 4 strokes right there.
Yeah.
But you know, sure. Like, in all fairness, from those tees that we played today, those were one back from the whites. Those are the blue tees. If you have any length at all and you can play the game, you'll chew that place up.
Oh, dude, you bomb the ball. Like, that's where I'm at. Like, I want to play a course that's 6,400, 6,500 yards. You know, I can get up to 67, 68, but then I'm pushing it. But you're hitting 290, 300 off. Like, you had a couple of eagle putts. Like, that just is not normal distance.
Yeah.
You should be
playing
7,000.
Yeah, my tee ball was going 70 by yours. I'm not trying to be rude, but it was going 70 by yours.
40 or 50 maybe, but it was past me for sure. I mean,
70.
I hit the ball 240, 250. You hit it 290, 300. I mean, do the math. So
yeah, you got to work on some fundamentals, cuz you don't generate any zip. Like, you're a big strong dude. You should be mashing that tee ball, and you kind of just you fan at it, and it's just
it's not good, eh?
There's room for improvement.
You need Bob Week.
It doesn't help when you're playing the wrong way.
I'm playing right, exactly. I've been playing for 25 years.
Dude, I guarantee you grabbed a left-handed set of clubs and you went to the range, you'll be a 4 handicap in a year.
I think, honestly, as crazy as it sounds, I think I would be. In a couple of years, I think I would be so much better, like with my touch. I
told your dad to stuff it with the naked swimming and the right-handed golf.
No, I'm still rattled about. I can't believe he made me flip. Like, I'm still fighting it to this day, and I will be probably forever. I'll be cursing it. Wow. All right, we've got one of the voices of tennis.
Secondary voice.
And one of the faces
the main
of tennis
voice,
in this country.
Our man.
Our man, Mark Masters, joining us now. How you doing, Mark?
Happy to chip in when I can, guys.
Yeah, well, thank you for doing this. I mean, obviously, it's not the news that we were looking for, that Bianca Andreescu has pulled out of the U.S. Open. That news broke about an hour ago. We all interpreted the statement to suggest that she's just not in shape. How did you read the statement?
Yeah, it was a strange statement. Here's what we know, and I'm concerned about Andreescu's health, because there's been a lot of injury questions surrounding her basically her whole career. For someone who just turned 20 in June, she's dealt with a whole list of injuries of knee and shoulder and back and foot. And so it's been a flurry of stuff. And I know I talked to her coach during the pause, Sylvain Bruneau, and he said that they were going to look at load management whenever the tour came back. But it is strange. It is strange the way it was worded. But I can't. She hasn't posted much on social media, which is a little weird based on her age bracket and how often she usually posts. A lot of the players, as they were getting geared up for the tour to return, and the WTA tour is back this week, and last week actually. So there hasn't been a lot of activity. She withdrew from an event in Charleston that was going to be an exhibition event that we were all excited to watch her play in, and she withdrew the week before without really explaining it. And there had been there you heard things like that maybe she was dealing with something. So it's a strange thing. I know that obviously you'd expect there's some sensitivity to the whole injury prone type thing. It's not easy. You don't want to be known as that. But to me, this development certainly raises questions. She hadn't initially submitted to be on the entry list of the quote-unquote Cincinnati tournament, which they're hosting in New York the week before, to give all the players a chance to get geared up. So you're kind of raising your eyebrows. She hasn't played this season at all. So she was out at the start of the year because of the knee injury she sustained October. She hasn't played since October of last year. It's an eternity. It must feel like just so long. Mentally, it's got to be such a strain for her. I'm gutted. I was really looking forward to watching her play. She's obviously would have been the defending champion there. And those are kind of the thoughts that are bouncing around my head having seen that statement.
Are people behind the scenes, Mark, a little fearful of the parallel of Jeannie Bouchard? And she's already in a different stratosphere because she has that major championship. But I see the pictures and it's all about the clothing and stuff. I know she's got that win under her belt, but are people like, well, this girl is 20 years old, she's already often injured, and concerned about what lies ahead?
I don't know how you're not concerned, just based on how this has played out, and you've had this whole break, but it's tough, right? As a young player, how do you handle it? I know I was talking to Felix Auger-Aliassime a couple weeks ago, and he's like, you don't know how long the break is, you don't know how hard to go. And for her, she hadn't even been playing matches. I felt bad. You know, she was about to come back. At least that was the sense we were getting right when the tour went on pause. So it started with the cancellation of Indian Wells. She was expected. She felt like she was going to be back for Miami. That was what she was looking at, which was just a week and a half after the whole thing went on pause. So definitely disappointing. But you mentioned the one thing she has is the major championship, and she did that coming back, winning Toronto after a long break. So she knows she can play well after a long absence, but this is certainly going to plant the seed of doubt. And the longer you go between playing and winning, the more the mystique kind of fades and you lose ground, it feels like. So tough news. I'm gutted today hearing this.
Yeah, it's brutal. It really is disappointing. Like she just hit the scene last year in a way that we have not seen with tennis of anybody, like more so than Jeannie, more so than Raonic. Yeah. Chapo, like no one, because of actually winning tournaments and then winning a slam in New York with Mark Masters. Again, Bianca Andreescu is not going to be playing at the U.S. Open. And we've been witnessing sporting events without fans, so I think we're getting used to it. But I can't picture a night match in New York without fans. Like, it's going to be the weirdest schedule.
Tough to watch.
Yeah, it's going to be really strange. And it's too bad because Bianca's out. We know Federer's out. Nadal is out. How do you put this into perspective, Mark? Like, what is the U.S. Open worth this year, and what kind of experience are you gearing up to actually witness here?
Yeah, Nadal and Andreescu not playing. So neither defending champion there. First time since 71. It's hard to believe. Now, we did get news today Djokovic is playing. And I do think there is going to be value to it. I think a lot of value to it because it's not going to be easy. I know some players are speculating that there's going to be a lot of upsets just because the bigger name players aren't used to playing in front of an empty stadium, whereas the lower ranked guys are kind of used to that. I actually think this sets up really nicely for Milos Raonic, because he's coming off a long break. He's usually worn down by the end of a year. He's been talking about an injury plagued guy. He's had everything. He can certainly relate to what, to questions about injury. So I feel like it's the one Grand Slam he's never had a long run in. I feel like it sets up well. He'll be fresh. And I think mentally he'll handle the no fans. He's kind of a methodical guy, just kind of goes about his business. He's not really an emotional player, I wouldn't say, on the court feeding off the fans. But just being in New York, even like it's not even a night match. Like the fans get into it regardless. Like they're kind of almost like heckling players half the time. It's going to feel just absolutely bizarre to watch some of these matches at the U.S. Open, knowing what you've seen in that venue. And I think that some players are probably going to struggle as we see, and some will benefit. I think that Raonic has a good chance to benefit if he can stay healthy, of course.
Yeah, no, for sure, absolutely. With Mark Masters. So we'll get you out of here on a Maple Leaf question. You've been following this team for a long, long time, and obviously no one could get up close and personal in the bubble and what they've been up to really just leading up to the past week. But put this into perspective from your standpoint, Mark. You've covered a lot of seasons. You've covered a lot of disappointments. How does this rank for you, and how would you compare and contrast the mood with the team today compared to the last two or three years?
It's pretty disappointing. I mean, it's got to be. It wasn't perhaps the collapse we've seen in some of those Boston games, but in terms of who they were playing, in terms of the talent on the team, it's got to be right up there in terms of disappointments. And I certainly got that sense from the players yesterday, like that they were very upset. And that's what Shanahan said too. That they were much more disappointed, it felt like, this year than versus previous years. And they worked so hard to come back. To get ready and get geared up for that, and just the talent on the team is huge. So I'm not sure. I found it strange. I know you guys talked about it. Kyle Dubas's comments, how combative he was. I found it struck a bit of a strange note because there was a step back in some respects this year, even though some of the younger guys did take a step forward. So to me, it's right near the top of the list of disappointing seasons, because this had the most talent, and just the they weren't playing Boston. It felt like they could have won that series. They should have won that series. I mean, so that's just that what I was feeling yesterday. And then I just found it strange that Dubas was so combative, and he didn't kind of say, yeah, we have to learn from this, and we're gonna look at serious things. He was very very combative, which was a big different tone from last year, where he was taking the blame for everything, even the bad penalty kill in the playoffs. So
right.
That was my sense of yesterday.
Well, it's going to be a while until we see the Leafs again, likely into next year. And as for Bianca Andreescu, who knows where she shows up next. So that's equally as disappointing. Always great catching up with you. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, Mark.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Mark Masters, our TSN Leaf reporter, tennis guru, everything.
Floater.
Everything. Well, unfortunately, what he is last place finisher in trivia.
You know what's funny, Noodles? He's lost so many times we don't even bring it up anymore. Like, I don't even associate Masters with trivia. It's sad. Like,
he's
every
lost
other
like
time,
four times.
He's never won. Forget lost. He's never won. He's the Leafs is what he is. He's
we
the
might
Leafs
need
of
him.
Hazy, trivia.
We might need him to get back on track. Him? And who's the pigeon that he plays with all the time?
Jonas.
He plays with the pigeon he plays with. Yeah, he plays with Jonas. It's him and Jonas.
Get those two back next Friday or tomorrow. Can we do
it
tomorrow?
You forget Jonas's name.
I was thinking of an... hey, it's been a while since I've been back on here, but I was just thinking it was kind of a nerdy type, and Jonas was the first guy that came to mind.
Well, you know what's going to happen, though? If we start challenging them, Kara and Lindsay Hamilton are going to step in and say, we own the belt. Like, they beat us.
Dude, what they did was Tim Donaghy-like, and that was a joke what they did.
Yeah.
They had some answers that were way off base.
Well, the grappler didn't help either. The grappler couldn't tell the difference between Spain and the United Kingdom.
Grappler is Tim Donaghy.
Yeah,
you're right. And then people started to question my style. And there was a lot of...
Grappler is removed from the situation. Noodles will do the questions, and we'll be on the straight and narrow here.
Yeah, I'll be a lot more efficient this time around. I will... And we'll be punching a clock, like no messing around.
Yes,
but
I
feel like taking down Masters and Jonas possibly tomorrow. It's a Friday type thing. We always did it on a Friday.
Yeah, we generally have, and we haven't played trivia in quite some time. It might have to happen. It might have to, just to lift their spirits.
Well, let's see if Jonas is available. I mean, he's heartbroken about the Leafs being out.
Like, yeah, Jonas, he likes covering the Leafs.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care.
He's a professional. But I think he'd prefer to be covering the Leafs. I mean, that is his primary.
Well, we all would.
Of course. Yeah, he's not alone with that.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, Jonas, he's writing away, man. He's putting up words with the Athletic. Like, I don't know if Myrtle's cracking the whip and demanding, you know, 1,500 words, 2,000 words. I don't know how that works.
Because
it's a website. It's not a paper. Like with papers, you got to stick to the whatever the number is. They tell you it's 500, you get 500.
Right.
But the Athletic, you want to write 4,000 words, I guess you can go ahead and do whatever you want.
That's true. Yeah, but there's probably no limit.
No, there wouldn't be a limit. Why would there be? Go ahead. Write whatever you want. It's not going in a paper. It's only online. All right, Bob McKenzie in 20 minutes. Steve Phillips still to come. Marcellus Wiley as well. Some big signings in football. And one position in particular that historically has not been paid that much. They're getting paid now. We'll tell you about that. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Bob McKenzie in about 15 minutes. Marcellus Wiley in the 6 p.m. hour. A bunch of NFL stories coming out today, including our first announcement of a player getting cut for trying to sneak a girl into the hotel.
And that was something else, too.
Oh, yeah. The details behind this. So a rookie cornerback in Seattle, Kima Sivarand, I believe is his name. There's video. So they're all at the hotel, and they're all on lockdown. Like, it's COVID, and you're in camp, and you've barely been in camp a week now. And the rules are the rules. Like Russell Wilson just had
a kid. Don't screw around, man. They will walk you down to the office and say you're cut.
Yeah, you're cut. Yeah. Hey, yeah, we saw you. You're cut. Now, again, if Russell Wilson gets caught, he's not cut, as we know. But this is a rookie cornerback that I don't know where he went in the draft. He might be a free agent. They said, you're out. You're gone. And he tried to sneak a girl into the hotel, which, listen, every guy has thought of it, tries to do it. There's a long history of stories like this.
Yeah, he's not the only guy.
No,
ever.
He's not. Yeah. But in the COVID era, you're even more on alert, or you should be.
What was his method of madness?
Well, this is where it gets hilarious. So
she's
she was wearing a Seahawks jersey because he was trying to disguise her as a player, as if guys are walking around in their jersey. Yeah, but who's like? What was the rationale behind that? Like, I just
maybe try to get a hotel like uniform for work, possibly
like a bellhop or something.
Anything?
You know? Yeah, like thinking that you can walk around with a jersey, give her a jersey, and think she's just going to sneak in, as if you know she's probably in high heels, but she's got a jersey on with no number on the back. Like Pete Carroll's going to say, "Who is? Oh, I think that guy's on my team."
So how did they tell? So how could they tell that she wheeled into his room?
Well, there's that's a good question. They have video.
Probably security going, "Hey, we got we got somebody with a beard and a mustache walking in a jersey, going, that's not a player."
Yeah.
Like guaranteed, security is everywhere. Like my understanding, these bubbles, like there's security everywhere.
And they're looking out, and they've been told by the league, by the teams, if you see anything, you tell us immediately.
Exactly.
You know, it's almost like a junior scenario.
Yeah, junior
where in like junior setup, towns, like every bar owner calls the coach immediately. They're in here tonight. Like it's like I don't know if the players know that, but the coaches know when you're out.
And they would have been informed the first time, the first part of the meeting, the middle part of the meeting, and the last part of the meeting would have said, "If you get caught bringing anybody in here, you're done.
You're gone.
And he still did it.
He's an idiot.
He's an idiot.
Yeah, like I feel for him, but you're an idiot. Like what
I
do
don't
you think
feel
you're doing?
For him because, like I said, he would have been told. They would have been addressed and said, "If you even try this, you're gone. Like you're gone immediately." So he just
Well, no, this is why the NFL is different than baseball because they will cut players and they will force them all into submission on COVID rules. And that's why that doesn't mean COVID won't somehow find a way to sneak into a camp. I'm not saying that necessarily. But baseball, guys have been caught, and it's like, don't do that anymore. You know, in football, you're cut. Like, you're cut. Now, and not we went to the bar. It was I tried to sneak one person in. One.
Yeah.
One. You're cut.
Ridiculous.
And that is the difference between the NFL and baseball, where if this was baseball, for starters, you couldn't cut the guy. It's a guaranteed contract. Secondly, the union would fly in immediately and say, nice try, no chance, not happening. Football, they're just like, you're cut. Like, everyone knows it. Outside of a quarterback and maybe five or six other guys on the team, every other guy on the team could be cut this second if you mess around.
Mm-hmm. Well, before the playoffs for the NBA playoffs start, Brian, we'll put you to the test. You put your list of top five guys you want to lure out of the bubble to favor the Raptors. If you're a Raptors
fan. Oh, that's a great list.
The top five guys you want to offer chicken wings or a jersey to get them out of the bubble to allow the Raps to have success.
Okay, I like it. Bubble seduction. How do we
bubble seduction?
Yep. Let's seduce someone right out of the bubble.
With a wing or something else.
Okay. We will definitely do that.
Yes.
The Raptors with another win last night. Bob McKenzie up in the next hour. We got Steve Phillips still to come. Marcellus Wiley as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Meow.